so beautiful and so perfect, because we are vessels for God and of God, that the light that we shine, we don't manufacture it, we welcome it. It's already there. So this has been living, the whole month is about being living in love, and today's topic is the mystical act of forgiveness. Ernest Holmes says a mystic is one who senses the divine. One who senses the divine. So place your hand over your heart and repeat after me. I am a modern day mystic. I sense the divine in me. I sense the divine in others. I practice the radical act of forgiveness. It's mystical. It fills me with light. It's good. And so it is. Okay, so the mystical act of forgiveness. I wore my best Merlin's gown. Of course, thank you. I've been in Orlando, the magical kingdom. We were at a conference center there, and I had so many examples of the mystic flowing through. Centers for Spiritual Living, when we first integrated, we said our goal is to touch 100 million lives. Our goal as Centers for Spiritual Living, with the new energy coming together, was to touch 100 million lives. And often in our Leadership Council meetings, it is, well, how are we going to do that? Are we going to do that the same way we've done everything, that having minister or ministers speak to a group of people? And what came to us, one of the things that came, that isn't nearly enough. Certainly our social media is one of the ways we touch different people. So the people who have their iPhones out and are tweeting, good for you. Thank you. Don't give them that look. They're supposed to be doing it. It's part of our marketing plan, and we're so thankful for them. So social media will help, but one of the things that happened at our conference, and it was so moving to everyone there, our guest speaker was a woman by the name of Yvette Flunder. She's a bishop. We don't have bishops in Centers for Spiritual Living. She is a bishop of Affirming Ministries. Affirming Ministries is an offshoot of Baptist, Pentecostal, something else, about four different things. Affirming Ministries means that, like all Pentecostals, they allow the Spirit to come through, and what, if they need to sing, they sing. If they're going to pray, they pray. She was a wonderful speaker because she did also sing in her talk. But so spiritual, affirming, everyone is welcome in their ministries. Every culture, every color, every lifestyle. So everyone is welcome, and we share that. And they have the same intention, peace on earth. That to see the Spirit in people and to call it forth. So Dr. Ken gave, Gordon, who's our spiritual leader, gave this wonderful talk about how we touch 100 million lives is to collaborate with like-minded people, people that have the same intention. We don't expect them to join, but we've agreed to honor them and be part of them, and they've agreed to honor us and be part of us. And it's a very good thing. Think of the various places in your life where you could just bring a little more love, a little more acceptance, a little more wholeness, just by seeing through eyes of inclusivity rather than exclusivity, where you see the one in whatever form it's taking. Because that's all we're ever looking at. There is only one. And it's manifesting through you, it's manifesting through me. And like I said in my earlier meditation, the one I did at 10 o'clock, which some of you were here for, what I came across was a meditation where you are one with, you feel the life force in a tree, a very old tree, And you recognize that that tree has come through many storms, and it's still strong, it's still tall, it's still graceful, it's still beautiful. It hasn't quit being a tree or said, well, that does it. I had a lightning strike. I've lost a branch. I'm not going to be a tree anymore. It doesn't quit being a tree. It simply is giving us life itself through its oxygen. It doesn't quit. And so for us, what often stands in the way of us living fully is we hold something against someone or something. We see that other as not God, and it's not true, because God is everywhere in everyone. That isn't to say that there haven't been times when you've been clobbered but with a 2x4, life's 2x4. And many teachers of forgiveness will say this. They'll say, Colin Tipping being one, who says, practice radical forgiveness. What if everything that came into your life that you were pushing away because you didn't like it, the disease, the divorce, the distance, the separation, what if everything is something that you signed up for in consciousness, that this is part of your spiritual program to just see how well you could do? How well do you do with that unexpected something? Judy Morley, the director of communications for Centers for Spiritual Living, wrote a new book called Using the Cosmic 2x4 to Hit a Home Run. And her cosmic 2x4 was when she was 39 years old, had a 3-year-old, and had a full-time job. She was already a PhD, had a PhD in one discipline, was getting another PhD by driving 450 miles a day to go to school while her daughter was in daycare, and then driving back before the daycare was open. She was diagnosed with stage 4 melanoma, Hodgkin's lymphoma, stage 4. Now, when she first found out she had cancer, she thought, well, fine, they caught it early, because she'd been going to the doctor for several months and hadn't found out anything. And no, it was stage 4. So she got busy and read everything she could about cancer in general and that particular kind of cancer. And everyone said pretty well the same thing. You've got to change your thought. You've got to change your thinking. You can't expect a different result if you're doing the same things. She gave another person said, and she worked very hard to change her mind. She wrote a book that has 5 steps to, we'll get some in, 5 steps to regaining your wholeness. How to hit a home run with that crisis that happened in your life. And her first step is, guess what? Acceptance. You have to, first of all, accept where you are. What's going on? This is where I am in my life. This is it. This was the diagnosis. This is the relationship. This is the loss. This is whatever it is that's causing pain or sorrow or resistance. First of all, say, yep, here it is. Thich Nhat Hanh would go further, and he'd say, welcome. Welcome, old friend, because we know we've seen those people before. Those, it might have a different face, but that person that let you down, the person that betrayed you, is just another aspect of you coming up in a different way. So anyway, she says we have to start with forgiveness. And it may not be easy, because the person because it's not always a person. Sometimes it's a circumstance. Sometimes it's the government. Sometimes it's something that isn't, like, you can't identify one person with it. But whatever it is, you need to, if you want to be well, healthy-minded, and traveling this spiritual path with intention, you need to be able to let it go. You need to be able to say, this is something that came to pass. It didn't come to stay. It isn't who I am. It's what I'm going through. It's what I'm going through right now. So the mystical act of forgiveness is when you do that, you are the light. When you can let go, when you first of all say, this is what is, and you can fill it with light and let it go, something mystical and magical happens. Your life starts working better. You have greater good come in than you've been scared of losing. And it may come in that same way, the relationship, the job, etc., or it may come in many, many ways. The first thing, so and sometimes the hardest person to forgive is yourself. And you cannot, Ernest Holmes says on page 299, I no longer need to read the text because I know this one. You cannot afford, he says, for selfish reasons alone, you cannot afford to hold hate or distrust or anything against any other person. For the God of love cannot hear the prayer of the one who fails to love. Meaning, no matter what you're praying for health, then get over it, forgive. You're praying for money, forgive. If you're praying for a relationship, forgive. It's the bottom line. I was talking with a friend whose daughter lives in another state, and her daughter was going to be doing a workshop. And the daughter said to my friend, Mom, you're so good at, you know, talking to the animals and things, and she is. Would you mind doing some spiritual work, visualizing that the woodpeckers don't bother my retreat, because there are woodpeckers by my home and they're really noisy? And my friend said, she said, well, I would, honey, but let's think of it another way. What if you invited them to be part of your retreat? What if you invited them to be part of your retreat, and then when you hear them, you wouldn't think of it as noise? It's just another being participating. See, that's an act of forgiveness right there. Instead of making it bad or wrong, say, welcome them. Welcome them all. All God's creatures, try to get it out, have a place in the choir, right? All God's creatures have a place in the choir. Everyone is necessary. Everyone is wanted. That includes you. While I was in Florida, we had 3 days of meetings, and they went very, very well. It was probably the best of the 2 years I've been on the Leadership Council. And then we had Sunday sort of off until the evening, and then rest right up until Friday was conference. It was magnificent. Jean Houston talked to us on Thursday night, and Jean Houston says, she says, there's something in us that you can't find, but if we didn't have it, we wouldn't be able to grow and flourish. She said, she calls it the entelechy. She said, the entelechy of the acorn is an oak tree. It's already an oak tree. The entelechy of us is enlightened being. We're already enlightened being. We might not be acting like it. There might not be evidence in our life of it, but we're already, our entelechy is, that's what we were created to be. We're already coded. It's in our spiritual DNA. And there's some work that we need to do. One of those things is, God can't hear us if we're not coming from God. If we're not bringing our God self to the prayer, it's just empty words. Well, some of you remember about 6 or 7 years ago, I had a long distance romance. And I was on my way to go and see him, and he called me up to tell me that I could still come if I chose, but he was dating this other woman intimately. And so I canceled my flight and blah, blah, blah. And I held resentment. Whenever, it's God calling. But whenever his name would come up, it would be like, there would be part of me that would just not want to acknowledge. And I said to everyone, oh, I've forgiven. Well, we went to an ordination. We were invited, because we're the Leadership Council, to an ordination in Florida, and he was the master of ceremonies. And it was so good, because I got to see just how much work had I done? Had I come all the way? to forgiveness? Or was I just sort of there at, okay, as long as out of sight, out of mind, you don't have to think about it? And I actually, by the end of the service, got to the place where it was okay for him to be how he is in the world, that I really did get to forgiveness. And that's how, by the way, that's how you'll know if you've done the work. You can recall the pain without feeling emotional. You can recall the experience, but you will no longer be upset about it. It isn't that you forget when you forgive, but you de-energize. You de-energize it. You let the energy go from it. So what place in your life is asking for you to practice the mystical act of forgiveness? What place in your life could you do some work? You know, Jesus said, you don't do it once or seven times, it's 70 times seven, meaning you forgive all the time. Every day, a spiritual practice is, who do I need to forgive today? Who have I cut out of my heart today? And you're not doing it for that person, that institution, that government, that the president, the senator, the congressman. You're doing it for you. You're doing it for you because by practicing that mystical act, your life works better. Your wholeness, your light, your love can be seen. It isn't about making any of those actions right or saying, I approve of the action. I'm not firing the actor. Everybody has a place in the choir. And everybody is in our life by divine appointment, meaning that when we have a big thing, a big cosmic 2x4 hit us, there's something for us to learn about ourselves. So the practice is to give love instead of anger or hatred, to give love instead of resentment, to give love to whoever or whatever is holding you back in consciousness from experiencing your highest and greatest good. Right here, right now, you are that mystic. I saw Reverend Patty's wonderful talk, and I actually wasn't going to show you this, but I'm just going to tell you. One of the most moving things to me is the 32-year-old man that went into the Amish school and shot those 10 little girls. 5 died and 5 were injured, some very seriously. And then he killed himself. And way back when that happened, we saw that the Amish went to his funeral. They practiced forgiveness right from the get-go. They went to his funeral. And his mother now is dedicated to, once a week, she goes to look after one of the more severely injured girls. She does it as not out of guilt or obligation, but knowing that these beautiful people had already offered her and her son their forgiveness for this unimaginable act of shooting these non-violent little girls. They had offered her their forgiveness, and she offered hers back. So most of us don't have something of that magnitude. Ours are more in the line of, he broke my heart, he let me down, he fired me, I should leave my job, he's a lousy boss, something like that. But every single act of complaint, every time you have resistance to your life, you're withholding God's good from you. You're beautiful. You're modern day mystics. Practice the mystical acts of forgiveness. And so it is.